Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, we're here, Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord we're here.
Amen.
Oh, we are a blessed people.
Amen.
Another college retreat.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Endeavoring to labor with the Lord and with you to see something concerning the supreme preciousness of Christ. When Mark mentioned this retreat to me, and I read the just the titles of all the messages, my sense, and I've been in a few retreats, these were some of the sweetest message topics, outlines I've ever seen. The supreme preciousness of Christ.
Amen.
So I was thankful that we could labor together and enjoy the Lord in this matter, in the Word. See
Amen.
His supreme preciousness.
Amen.
That sounds like a big topic. Basically, you could go through from Genesis to Revelation to talk about the supreme preciousness of Christ. Just come on in and have a seat. And we just got started. So,
Amen.
We're on, anyway, like I said, this is a big topic. You could go anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Christ.
Amen.
The key here was try to figure out how to focus in. I know some brothers, our brother Lee did a study on the Old Testament and said there were over 400 items of Christ just in the Old Testament alone. It's because He's supremely precious.
Amen.
You know, one of the burdens that we have is that we would all have a change in our system of value. And we all need to have a proper system of value. God knows the value of Christ. God the Father highly values Christ. He's precious, it says in 1 Peter. To God, He is precious. Now, if something's precious to God, that ought to be pretty precious.
Yeah.
I mean, God created the entire universe. He has creating power. He can create out of nothing. He's eternal. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, eternal, divine, holy, pure, perfect. If something is precious to Him, it better be precious.
Amen.
Listen, the universe isn't precious to God. That's not what it says. And then God created the earth. Listen, the earth is outstanding. You know, you got to read your Bible. There's some verses about the earth. When God created the earth, it says the angels sang for joy in Job. The earth was a masterpiece. You know, in all the things God had created in the universe, when He came to creating the earth, it was like a masterpiece. The angels just, wow, God, You outdid Yourself this time. I mean, a place that can support life, it was beautiful. He did not create it a waste. Even though it says that in Genesis, it became waste. But God didn't consider that precious. It's Christ whom God considers precious.
Amen.
We all need a change in our system of value, what we consider valuable and precious. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. I came up with a term, this isn't in the Bible, but the Spirit is the appraiser. In a sense, it is in the Bible, because the Spirit receives of Christ, it says in John 16, and then declares it to us. And also in 1 Corinthians, Paul told us that the Spirit searches the depths of God and reveals these things to us. In fact, the verse, it says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it hasn't come up in our hearts what God has prepared for those who love Him, who love Him. No one's ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. And then the next verse says, but God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, because the Spirit searches the depths of God. That means the precious things that no one's ever seen or heard of, or has it come up in his heart, those precious things are the depths of God, which is Christ. I like that. The Spirit's the appraiser. He can help us learn how to appraise things properly. We have to touch the Lord. Well, I wanted to say this, that because of the fall of man in Genesis, you know, God created man in His image and after His likeness, so that God could put Christ into this man. He could come into us. But man fell. Maybe some of you never heard this kind of terminology. I don't know. I don't know where we're all coming from here. So I have to assume that you don't know that much. Some of us have heard maybe, but some may have not heard this. Anyway, man fell. Man fell away from God. He sinned. That was Adam and Eve, right? We know the story. Well, because of the fall, what happened is that man's system of value became exactly opposite to God's. Completely opposite of what God's value is. Now, God didn't create man that way. God created man to value what He valued. But due to the fall and sin and Satan entering into man, all of a sudden, he got all mixed up. He can't appraise anything. In fact, I got to read you a couple of verses. Can I grab my Bible here? Okay, there's two verses I wanted to read you about this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, coming to Him, Him is the Lord, a living stone, listen, rejected by man, but with God chosen and precious. So what God chose and considered precious, man rejected. It's all backwards. What's up with that? And then in Luke 16, listen to this. The Lord, in one of His many dialogues with the Pharisees, always having to help, try to give these guys some help. They had a mistaken system of value. The Pharisees, being lovers of money, that's what they valued. They loved money. Heard all these things and they were sneering at Him. And the Lord said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What man exalts is what God considers abominable. Or what you could say is what God considers abominable, man exalts. What God considers precious, man rejects. It's all backwards. What happened? Listen, Satan blinded our thoughts. It was Satan's fault. It was sin's fault. Sin has a way of blinding us and corrupting us and causing us to misunderstand what God's purpose is and what God's value is. So there's a battle for our mind and our heart. It's a waging war. And it's happening to us all the time, even to Christians. I think we could all, maybe you all are perfectly clear and your system of value is spot on. You just praise the Lord. Maybe I should sit down and let you come. But we all need some adjustment and perfecting. There's a battle over our mind. In fact, in Romans, Paul told us, God gave up the human race to a disapproved mind. That's a strong word. So our mind is disapproved. It thinks, it exalts things that are abominable, and it rejects things that are precious to God. So we need a lot of salvation. We need to be saved a lot. You know, you might say, well, I'm already saved. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you received the Lord as your Savior. You're saved eternally. But how about, do you have the kind of mind that is considers Christ precious above all things? I think we all need a little more salvation in this matter. We need a change in our system of value. Now listen, I was just going to say this, that concerning change, people want change. change we need. You know, there was a vote recently for change that we need. Listen, real change is inward change. Now, don't misunderstand me. This was a historic election, right? What happened? It was historic. I believe it. I think there's a big change in the world. And I do believe it was absolutely under God's sovereignty. Because God's move is in the history of man. What goes on in the human realm is only a picture. God is moving there in a hidden way to carry out His eternal purpose.
Amen.
And I believe that this is part of the fulfillment for God's purpose. He arranges all the things. Who's the next president? Who's the king? What countries are existing on the earth? This is all under the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And King of Kings for His purpose. But listen, people want change, right? We need change. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I hate to date myself, but since I've been alive, there's been 10 presidents. That's a lot of change. You know, when they tell me we need change, I said, I've already seen it 10 times. Of course, one of them, I was just a baby, right? I didn't know anything. I didn't really know the guy. But I think it was probably the same age. I think it was probably the same then that it is now, from the 60s to these days now. The changes in this old creation will never satisfy us. The change we need is inward change. You know, we're always looking for changes in our life, big changes, little changes. I want to get a new car. I need to change my car. I need to change the furniture in our house. We had to change our furniture in our house. I just said, well, amen, praise the Lord. I have a table and chairs available, by the way. I wanted to mention that if anybody needed it. Oh, I need a new house. This house isn't big enough anymore. I need a bigger house. I need change. I need a new major in college. Anybody have a change in major? Ever had a change in major? I changed my major 3 times. I need a new career. That's what I need right now, actually. That's the change I'm facing. Amen. That's the career I need, Lord Jesus. I need a new president. Listen, we all need change. The Samaritan woman, she needed change. This woman at the well, if you're not familiar, in John chapter 4, she had had 5 husbands. And now she was living with a 6th guy. It wasn't her husband. She needed change. Problem was, all those changes never satisfied her inward need. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. We don't just need outward change, saints. We need an inward change. Right? It's the same old story. It's just, you know, that's why older people become bitter. They've been through all these changes. Eventually they're kind of cynical, you know, oh, I've seen that sign before. You know, it's because they have the wrong system of value. So they're always changing. Oh, I got to change. It's the system is wrong. It's not the new change. It's the system. It's not, oh, that old president was bad. The new one will be better. Maybe, maybe not. But the point is, it's the wrong system. We need a cause. Young people want a cause. You could say a change, a cause. Now you might think, you know, well, what does this have to do with the supreme preciousness of Christ? It has everything to do with that. Because we need to have a proper valuation of what's real, right? Of what's really valuable. You know, okay, you want to talk about a cause? I've seen a lot of young people lately, and I work in Fremont, the center of the universe. If you haven't been there, there's a statue of Lenin. And all sorts of crazy stuff. I've seen a lot of young people there with causes, all sorts of causes. There's always somebody out there with some cause. You know, you got, you know, clipboards and, you know, you want to sign up for this cause, you want to be for that cause. Young people want to be involved in a cause because we're created that way. We were made to be part of a cause. Listen, Paul had a cause, Paul the Apostle. as a young man, he had a cause, he was very ambitious in his particular political climate at the time, in his leading climate at the time, the Pharisees. He wanted to be a Pharisee. Listen, these guys had political power. It wasn't just religious, although it was very religious. And he advanced. He was better than everyone in his time, in this cause. And that was his system of value. It was Judaism. That was his whole world. It just consumed him day and night. Okay, one day, and he was a very gifted, talented, educated, capable person, young person. One day, Jesus appeared to him. I mean, really appeared to him from heaven, from his ascension. And as I was thinking about this, I just had to say it was a big bang in Paul's life. It was like the big bang happened. What happened to me? He got knocked on the ground, and Jesus spoke to him, "Why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." That was like a whole new start for Paul. He had a complete change in his system of value. He did not value Judaism anymore after that time. He completely changed. He saw something that was far superior to Judaism. He saw Christ in glory. And it just completely rearranged his entire life. That's the kind of change we need, right? This is the kind of change we want to have. We want to have a change from seeing Christ. Let Him change us. Only Christ can produce this kind of change. And only each one of us personally can cooperate with the Lord to give Him an opportunity to make this change in us. He needs our cooperation. He needs us to open. I mean, I'm really thankful all of us are here at this retreat. You might think, oh, you know, I decided to come to this retreat, and maybe you wanted to be here, maybe you didn't. I think many of you probably did want to be here. I was just at a junior high retreat not long ago. Now, those guys, I could tell them, I know your parents forced you to come here. But here, most of us, probably that didn't happen. But how you came, you know where your heart is, right? And we're not asking you to pretend that you have some sort of change, but our burden is that there would be a change in your being. And that this change would be produced by Christ. And it would be produced in each of these sharings. That the Lord would open His Word and His heart to us. But He has to have your cooperation. We'll do our best to labor and speak the Word. But you have to cooperate and open your heart. And pray, Lord, show me Yourself. I want a change in my system of value. I want to see what God sees. What does God see in Christ anyways? I want to see what God sees in this Christ. God thinks Christ is precious. Lord, I want to see that. I want to see You to the point I treasure You just like God treasures You. How about this kind of response? You know, in Your way, you need to open to Him and pray and ask for this kind of evaluation of Christ. According to what God sees Him as. Not according to what you think you know or what you've heard all your life. But how does God see Christ? You know, God likes to reveal Christ. Did you know that? You know, there's a verse in Galatians that says it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. I really love that verse. You know, there's a few verses in the Bible that talk about what pleases God. You know, when it says God was pleased, you got to kind of take note, because we're talking about God, the triune God, the eternal God. Wow, what pleases Him? You think, you know, oh man, if I had if I had some sort of brand new Lexus, man, I would be. You think that pleases God? No. You think a galaxy pleases the triune God? No. It might enjoy it. I don't know. I think it's beautiful. Listen, there are things that please God. Mainly, that is Christ.
Amen.
Well, listen, there's another thing that pleases God, and that's to reveal Christ. You know, God is happy to reveal Christ. He enjoys revealing Christ. God loves to reveal Christ. And He loves to see what it will do inside of human beings. because it changes them radically. It'll change your life. It makes you a radical person. No one else can do that in you, but Christ can do it. So God is happy to reveal Christ. He's pleased to do it. He wants to reveal Christ. But I don't see Him. What's the problem? Well, I need to open. I need to cooperate. I need to respond. Maybe the Lord is speaking to me. Maybe God is saying, I want to reveal Christ to you. Don't keep your heart closed. Open. Contact me. Right? Listen, the Lord changes people. I like the way the Lord changes. Now that's real change. That's the change we need. Right? When the Lord touched Peter, I mean, Peter became an eyewitness of the Lord's majesty. In fact, he hardly has utterance for it. He didn't know what to call it. He was on the mountain of transfiguration and Christ literally was transfigured before him. He began to shine like the sun. You know, if I were standing here and suddenly my face began to shine, you would say, wow. Right? Listen, they were all there. They saw him. His garments began to shine and his face began to shine. Peter said something dumb, and then God the Father had to stop him from the heavens. God the Father himself had to stop the nonsense and interrupt Peter. It evoked such a response from God. He said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Anyway, Peter said, "We left everything for you, Lord." He had no choice. Once you see him, you can't help it. You know, the Lord was walking by one day. He's walking, and there's this tax collector there, Levi, Matthew. Jesus says, "Follow me." Well, he's got a tax book open, closes it up. "I'm following the Lord." He just got up and walked away. No 2-week notice. What happened to him? He had a change in his system of value is what happened. And then Zacchaeus, right? "Lord, I give away half my possessions to the poor." And then Paul. We saw Paul, the big bang. The Christ from the heavens appeared to him on the way to Damascus. I mean, he was going to Damascus to bind and persecute Christians and deliver them up to death. Instead, he ends up on the way, goes into Damascus and starts preaching the gospel to people. "What happened to you, Paul?" "I had a change in my system of value. What I was rejecting before that God had chosen, now I'm choosing." His life was a life of choosing Christ. And, you know, I have to give this story about a brother, you know, Ed Marks, right? I love this story. You know, after he got saved, he gives this testimony many times. He was, he'd gotten saved, didn't know the Lord that much, but he just fell in love with the Bible. Just loved reading the Bible. And one night is there, it's like Friday night, and he's reading his Bible. He had some milk. He had a glass of milk. And he's sitting there, and then he paused, and he thought, "Man, it's Friday night, and I'm sitting here with a glass of milk, and I'm reading the Bible." He said, "Man, you have changed." Is that not a change? Yeah. He didn't have to tell us what used to happen, but we can all imagine. It was a big change. No one told him, "You're a Christian. You know what you need to do on Friday nights? Drink milk and read the Bible." I guarantee, don't go out and preach the gospel that way, right? Just present Christ to people. Amen. Then one day they'll find themselves sitting there on Friday night drinking milk and reading the Bible. Well, what happened to me? I've had a change in my system of value, right? We all want this kind of change. Lord, make this our testimony. Amen. How about you? How about me? What's our testimony? Listen, this is the testimony of Jesus. Amen. You know, recently the brothers are sharing on the testimony of Jesus, right? Listen, the testimony of Jesus is a group of people like this. Not just a social gathering, but a group of people who have been changed by Christ.
Amen.
Who God has revealed Christ to. once you see the revelation, it's no choice. It's like the song we sang. You know, not the crushing of those idols with its bitter void and smart, but the beaming of His beauty, the unveiling of His heart. Once God reveals Christ, it's all over. You just, the idols, you go through the house and clear out. You know, we've had this kind of experience, right? You get saved and suddenly things you used to love just don't have the same charm they have anymore. You start clearing stuff out. What happened to me? I had a change because God showed me what was really precious. This is what Satan fears the most. He can only keep people in darkness and in blindness. He knows the Lord is so valuable and precious. He doesn't want us to see. It's a battle for Christ to be revealed. It's a struggle for Christ to be revealed. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Anyway, He changes our being. Things that were precious to us aren't that precious. Now, I have to give a testimony. There's a young brother from our locality. And, anyway, I'm just, oh, this young brother. And he's younger than y'all, okay? And I don't see him here, actually. Anyway, he's in high school. And, you know, oh, Lord, we've called on the Lord for this brother, you know. And so lately he has been a different person. And he used to love the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he ate, drank, breathed the Dallas Cowboys. He could tell you all the statistics, players, you know, I don't know, fantasy football team, who knows what. He went to a retreat, and this brother came back changed. And so it was on the Lord's Day, and one of the serving ones was asking him, something happened where he's going to have to miss. He goes, well, you're going to have to miss watching the Dallas Cowboys. He goes, I don't care. They don't mean that much to me anymore. I mean, I still like it, but I've had a change. Is what happened. Oh, so touching. I mean, this is the testimony of Jesus. This is what the Lord wants to produce. He produces this kind of change in people. And so people change. And then they want to be with other people who've changed like this. I want to be with some other changed people who value Christ. And so then the Lord begins to gather us together. And this becomes His testimony on the earth. And He's watching and He just enjoys this so much. Right? To gather us together to be His testimony. Called out of everything out of the world. Out of the old things. The distractions. All the idols and the pleasures, all the things that have such a hold on us. Amen. He just loves to see us get set free from those things. Amen. Nothing frees you like a vision of Christ. Amen. This is what the Lord does to people. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just appreciate this.
Amen.
You know, I was just considering this. This is what the Lord is doing. This is how He is built. What is He doing today? He's building the church. Bringing in His kingdom. He's overthrowing Satan. He's producing His bride. This is what the Lord is doing in His ascension today. How is He doing that? Listen, by changing our system of value. By changing what we value. One saint at a time. He changes Phil. He changes Mark. He changes Jenny, right? He changes us all. He changes us and then He gathers us together. And we become a testimony on the earth. Inwardly, we begin to see who He is. Outwardly, the world begins to see a testimony. And they wonder, who are these people? How can they be that way? Right? It becomes His testimony. Praise the Lord. And then they just like to follow Him wherever He goes. Well, this is what we want to see this weekend is a vision of such a Christ. You know, here in our outline, I just wanted to cover a couple of points here. It's on page 4 and 5. The supreme preciousness of the person of Christ. The burden from this message came out of, like I said, out of the First Peter training. And there are five verses. Or I should say there's five precious things in that book. There's Christ as the precious stone. To whom coming a precious stone. There's Peter talks about the precious blood of Christ. Okay? He talks about our precious faith. You know, to have faith is precious. I tell you, it is precious to have faith. I mean, it's not just a blind faith that we have. Faith is substantial. It was given to us by God. It's a gift. It substantiates Christ. It's like a portion, actually, according to the Bible. It's an allotted portion of faith. God gives every believer a portion of faith. It's like an allotment from the good land. And it's ours to labor on. Your faith is yours. It's equally precious as Peter's and as Paul's, right? It's equally precious faith. You've been given something precious. Now, if I sat here, I saw a little news story. I think they had recovered this huge ruby that got stolen. It was like worth $4 million. Somebody had stolen in Europe. I don't know what the size of it was, this big ruby. If I had this ruby to give you, Jonah, you know, you would consider that precious. I wouldn't mind receiving a precious gift like that. $4 million ruby? Thank you. I'm not gonna skip it across the lake like a skipping rock. You know, faith is precious. And yet, how much do we regard our faith as precious that God has given us? Oh, I believe in the Lord. Listen, there are pathetic people out there that try to claim there is no God and have no faith. And I don't say pathetic to ridicule them. I say it's pathetic because it's sad. It's a sad situation not to have faith in God. Some of you grew up as, you know, in Christian families and believed in the Lord at a young age. Let me tell you something. I didn't receive the Lord until I was 19. I was pathetic before I received the Lord. Still kind of pathetic in ways, but listen. I had no faith. It was horrible. Oh, one day, God just said, Jim, I want you to have a gift. Faith.
Amen.
Precious faith.
Amen.
Oh, wow. I just, boy, when I believed, the day I believed in the Lord, let me tell you, that was a happy day.
Amen.
I mean, that faith was precious to me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
I mean, Peter, you got to read it. Peter, he says, whom having not seen, you love.
Amen.
Now, what kind of thing is that? We love someone we've never seen. That's a mystery. What is that all about? People who don't have faith, they think you're just crazy. Oh, you love someone you never saw? What's wrong with you? Well, and then Peter says, whom having not seen at present, that means we will see, you exalt with unspeakable and glorified joy. That day, you know, when I received faith, it was like an exalting, an unspeakable joy. That faith was very real. Faith is very real. Without faith, you cannot substantiate the Lord. You cannot substantiate the spiritual things. Can't substantiate God. Can't substantiate the Spirit. Nothing's real. The faith makes it all real to us, right? That's why it's so precious. It's just Christ, actually, in case you're wondering. The faith is Him. You think, well, I believed in the Lord. No, you didn't. The Lord gave you that faith. You could not have and would not have ever believed, but God gave you Christ as faith, and it became something very precious. But what do we do with that faith? Are we going to neglect it? And this is one of the words that Paul uses. You know, are we going to neglect our faith? Are we going to dig a hole in the ground and bury it? I mean, the Lord talks about this, right? He talks about some people in the Gospels. He gave them a talent. He gave them a gift, some silver. And one of the servants went and buried it in the ground. And then when the Lord came back, he dug it up. He knew where it was the whole time. He never lost it. He never lost it. It was there. It was in my backyard. Right? I buried it back there. Oh, hey, the Lord's come. I better go dig it up. Here, Lord. Thank you for the faith you gave me. Here it is. I still believe in you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. What did you do with the faith? Did you, did we use it to substantiate the Lord? Did we take advantage of our faith and exercise our faith? Faith needs exercise. It needs to be used, right? It's a gift that needs, it's not just there statically in there. It needs to be exercised and used. Listen, saints, we all have a spirit of faith.
Amen.
We can exercise our spirit.
Amen.
How do we exercise our faith? It's by exercising our spirit.
Amen.
It's precious. The more you exercise it, the more precious it becomes. You know, as long as my talent is buried in the backyard, I don't realize how precious it is. It's there, but it's just kind of buried. It seems almost ridiculous, doesn't it? Bury something precious like that. I don't know what he thought. He's going to lose it or something. Anyway, we can't bury our talent, our faith that the Lord has given us. He wants us to exercise, to believe.
Amen.
Now, how do you exercise your faith? By speaking.
Amen.
We believe, so we speak.
Amen.
That's the Bible. That's what the Lord said. So also we believe, therefore we also speak. Listen, we can speak ourselves into reality. We speak ourselves into the experience of the divine riches, of the divine things. How do we experience them? You wonder, I wonder, why does Mark have so much faith? Why does he enjoy the Lord so much? And I don't enjoy the Lord as much as he does. Maybe his faith is more precious than mine. No? No, Peter made it clear. It's equally precious faith. Right? It's the same faith. Maybe he has more in quantity, but he doesn't have better quality. We all have the same quality of faith.
Amen.
It's just a matter of, are we going to exercise it?
Amen.
And you'll find out, the more you exercise it, the bigger it becomes. And the stronger and sweeter and more precious it becomes. We contact the Lord by faith. You know, we contact Him by faith. Not by thinking, by our mind, by reasoning. Certainly not by complaining. Definitely not by ignoring Him. You don't contact Him by ignoring Him. I can guarantee you that. You contact the Lord by faith.
Amen.
Oh, it's so sweet. This is a precious gift God has given us.
Amen.
Our faith.
Yes.
I mean, John tells us it's the victory that overcomes the world.
Yes.
Our faith. Man, I am having a hard time with the world. Oh, I've got, all these things in the world are just holding me back from the Lord. I love this. I love that. I love to watch football. Whatever it is. You know, we all have things that we have. How do I overcome that? Well, I guess I just have to quote John. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith.
Amen.
Have I exercised my faith in the Lord? Well, I don't believe that strongly. That's because you haven't exercised it. Right? The way to get freed from other things is not by trying to deal with them. Well, I can't watch, can't do that anymore, because I'm not supposed to do that, right? That never works. But if we would exercise our spirit of faith to contact the Lord, then we would find out that those things that have such a strong hold on us don't have such a strong hold anymore. It overcomes. The faith overcomes. So the Father, although He has given us equally precious faith, He still, again, needs our cooperation. He needs us to cooperate with Him, with our faith. So Peter goes on to say, you know, he's in this section of about the faith, he says, well, let me just read this to you. Seeing, okay, to those who have been allotted faith equally precious as ours. Wow. And then he says, for this reason, adding all diligence, supply bountifully in your faith virtue. And in virtue, knowledge. In knowledge, self-control. In self-control, endurance. In endurance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly love. And brotherly love, love. For these things existing in you and abounding, they constitute you neither idle nor unfruitful. Okay, unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Well, it means that although the Father has given us equally precious faith, unless we do anything with it, it's just going to sit there. It's just going to sit there in our spirit and almost have no effect on us. Now, of course, it does exist in us and it even abounds. It's strong. I think it's always, frankly, always operating in us. Always calling us back to turn, contact the Lord. Once you receive faith, you know you have faith because you're always bothered by the Lord. Amen. Right? I mean, how come my friends aren't bothered? You know, can't you just leave me alone once in a while? The Lord, one person called Him the Hound of Heaven. He will not let you go. Once He's gotten in, He will complete what He has begun.
Amen.
But this is an important point, I think, for all of us to realize. The precious faith needs to be exercised. It needs some diligence. Peter says, adding all diligence. Ooh, that sounds like a demand to me. Well, it's a cooperation. You know, what does it mean, diligence? Well, how about getting up in the morning and praying? I mean, I think the Lord counts that as some diligence. Lord, I love You this morning. Lord, I open my Bible. Lord, speak to me from the Word. What are these promises? What is this faith? And you just read the Word. Let Him operate. Let your faith have an opportunity to operate and produce all these things in us, right? That's our faith. So we all have precious faith. These are one of the precious items that Peter tells us about. Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Thank You for my precious faith.
Amen.
I just want my faith to grow. I want my faith in Christ to grow.
Amen.
And talk about giants in faith, right? Well, anyway, I don't know who coined that term, but at least faith can grow in us, right? Can we let our faith grow, the precious faith? And then he talks about the precious stone. Hey, Mark, how long should we go, do you think? That sounds good. Just a few more minutes, 10 minutes or so. I just want to cover some of these things. How about the precious stone for God's building? Listen, Christ is a stone for God's building. I mean, He's a chosen and precious stone. You know what I was touched? You know, everyone experiences Christ eventually. I mean, in a certain sense, everyone will experience this stone. To the believers, it's precious. To unbelievers, it's a stumbling stone. They have an experience of Christ too. It's not a positive one. But to us, it's positive. To Satan, it's a smashing stone. Hallelujah. He experienced Christ. Smashing His head on the cross. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Anyway. Amen, Lord. You know what I appreciate about this stone is that He's the cornerstone of God's building. God said, behold, I lay in Zion a precious cornerstone.
Amen.
I lay in Zion a cornerstone. God laid Christ as a cornerstone. Where? When did this happen? This happened in resurrection. And in the Lord, when the Lord resurrected from the dead, God set him as a cornerstone for his building of the church. You know, a cornerstone is very important in a building because it sets the pattern for the whole building. Everything comes out of the cornerstone. Christ joined the Jews and the Gentiles together. Actually, God did that through Christ as the cornerstone. And one thing I was touched with was that all of our relationships together here as believers is in Christ as the cornerstone.
Amen.
We're joined together in Christ.
Amen.
I don't have a direct relationship with Mark. My relationship with Mark is through Christ as our
Amen.
Cornerstone, isn't it? He joins us together. We're all joined to the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone
Amen.
Of God's building. He joins us together. And he's precious. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's one other, there's the precious blood of Christ. This is like one of the most outstanding terms in the Bible. That's not covered here in message one, but we'll get to that. We'll have a whole meeting on that this weekend, on the precious blood. And we have a booklet called The Precious Blood of Christ. Boy, you know, one thing I learned as a young Christian, you know, I got saved in college. And I got to tell you, honestly speaking, those were probably the top years of my whole Christian life. I mean, in some respects, at least, with the gospel. I mean, we were crazy lovers of Jesus. I have no other words for it. I mean, we were too much sometimes. I got to tell you this story just because I want to. One time, I was with some brothers, and we were in this store, oh Lord, and we were praying and calling, Lord, we were all crazy, you know, we'd just been through a training, and so we were all on fire, and this old man, he really was an old man, he was there at the counter, and he's a brother, and he was standing there, and, you know, we're like, hallelujah, Jesus is, and we were buying light bulbs, and So we said to this man, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. He goes, and he's frowning at us, you know. He goes, I don't like what you boys are doing. Why? Well, you're mocking the Lord. Well, we're not mocking the Lord. We love the Lord. He is the light. He goes, if you're serious, then you need to pray right now. All three of us, three brothers, we all got on our knees right there in the store. And we had a prayer meeting for about 5 minutes. And so we were kneeling down on our knees. Hallelujah, you're the light of the world. When I looked up, this guy was on the counter like this. He was just, you know, praying along. And so after we got up, he goes, I'm sorry, boys, you weren't mocking the Lord. That's the kind of thing you can only do when you're a college student, right? If I tried that now, oh boy, I'd be hauled out of there probably. Oh, we had great, great experiences. We were just crazy lovers of Jesus. It was awesome being in college. Just abandon. Just utter abandon in love with the Lord. I mean, we wanted to risk our lives for the Lord. I mean, we just looked for opportunities to speak and to give ourselves to Him. You know, it was just awesome. Such a blessing. Oh, I'm sure the Lord was just in. I think He enjoyed us. You know, he had to clean up some things, just like He did with the apostles and disciples. But I think He enjoys seeing young people that just are just in love with Him. You know, that's what young people are made to do, right? It's just so good to be a young person in the Lord's recovery, in love with the Lord.
Amen.
Those were enjoyable years. We just gave ourselves to the Lord, consecrated our lives to Him. Lord, we just love You.
Amen.
We were a little companion group. Yeah, we had experiences like that. Praise the Lord. People got saved. Right, we were just fellowshipping about this, right, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, people got saved. People came into the church. We were just rejoicing all the time. We were a testimony of Jesus, of people who had our system of value changed. And others could tell. I mean, we weren't making this stuff up. We were not mocking the Lord. We were serious. We were absolutely serious. Poured out serious. And people were touched by that. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
So we'll have a whole meeting on the precious blood. What I was going to say is that when I was in college, one of the first lessons I learned, and we'll get into this, it was on how to employ and use the blood of Christ. Anyway, I'll save that for later. We'll have another whole meeting on that. And then the last precious thing was the proving of their faith. You know, that's kind of like what I was trying to say about our faith. Not only is the faith precious, but the proving of the faith is precious. That means the exercise of the faith is precious. God wants to see us not just having faith, but proving it. You know, we need to prove our own faith even. Right? You know, these verses talk about, you know, persecutions proving our faith. Who does the faith get proved to anyways? You know, the proving of your faith. Does it get proved to God? Does God know how precious the faith is? Yes. He knows already. Who is he proving the faith to? Is it to the devil? The devil knows. Listen, it's to you, isn't it? The Lord wants you to know how precious your faith is. That's who the faith needs to be proved to. So that when the time comes and you can be found unto glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ at point A on page 5, 3A, you know, we pay the price to gain Christ through the fiery trials, that the proving of our faith may result in praise and glory and honor. But listen, the faith gets proved to us. There's nothing more enjoyable than the proving of your faith. You know, receiving faith is enjoyable. The proving of it is even more enjoyable. Wow, this faith is precious.
Amen.
Lord, I love you. Lord, you're precious. Lord, this faith is strong. It set me free.
Amen.
Changes me. So these are the five precious things in Peter. Okay, the precious stone, the precious faith, the precious blood, the precious proving of our faith. And just drew a blank. There's one more. Thank you. The precious promises. And that's message 5, which we'll get into about the Word of God, the precious promises. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. I hope this was a good start to our weekend together.
Amen.
I hope we could all really have a vision and that we could all really cooperate with the Lord.
Amen.
That we could see something concerning His supreme preciousness.